communication and listening is really so much an important part. Really understanding that we're all on the same team, that everybody wants the same success for not just the company, but for each other, is really important. I think it's the make or break where family businesses fail or succeed.
Welcome to Learning Life.
And the thing that I've realized, from the CEO to the NFL football player to the janitor, we're our toughest critics and we're hardest on ourselves.
But you have to be willing to say and point out the things that need to be said.
The only way to grab somebody's attention is with a story.
Welcome to Learning Life with John Toda and another episode in our Vermont Local series. My guests today are Dawn and Sarah Lancaster, the mother and daughter co-founders of Pure Energy Apothecary. Dawn is the CEO of the company and Sarah is involved in all aspects of business operations while finishing her studies at Champlain College. I met Dawn and Sarah through Dr. Kylie King, who runs the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Champlain College and was recently on the show. Dawn and Sarah's business story is an excellent Vermont and Champlain College family entrepreneur story, so I'm excited to get into it today. Dawn and Sarah, welcome to Learning Life.
Hi, thank you for inviting us.
It's exciting to be here.
So it's so much fun to get to interview a family team, and particularly one that has been doing it for so long in Vermont. So I'm going to bounce back and forth from both of you to get your perspectives on a lot of different things. Just for our listeners to understand a little bit more about Pure Energy and your business, Dawn, why don't you kick us off and tell us a little bit about what the business is all about?
Well, I think the best way for us to start is for the listeners to understand the reason why we do what we do. And I'm going to throw that to Sarah to tell her grandma story.
Sure. So the best way to tell you our story is to tell you about my grandmother, who I will be referring to as Mom. That's just how I've always referred to her. That's how we all refer to her. If I'm thinking about my mother, you'll hear me say Mama. My mom, she was the oldest of five girls on a Vermont dairy farm in the 1930s. If you know anything about farming in the 1930s, you know all about outhouses, water pumps, indoor plumbing, and the sheer amount of physical labor you experience to work on a farm. Being the oldest meant she was her dad's right hand in the field and in the barn. Now, if you know someone who loves to work the land, getting dirty and working in the barn sounds like fun, and it sounds like a dream job. But for my mom, that wasn't true. During the Korean War, my mom joined the Marines to avoid marrying a farmer and living the farm life. She wanted a different kind of life. Long story short, she married my granddad, a Navy man, and raised a family. Her personality was like Aunt Bee from the Andy Griffith Show, gentle, kind, always giving, always doing for others.
And the interesting part was, you know, here's this amazing, magical, wonderful woman, yet in her early 60s, her health started to deteriorate. Mom was diagnosed with breast cancer twice, lung cancer, skin cancers. And it was the year 2000 when Sarah was born. My mom was 65, and I think that they became best friends that day. I would say that around that time, the cancer started to subside. Life seemed like it was becoming simple again, and Mom played a big role in caring for Sarah and our family. As an entrepreneur, my husband and I owned and operated Carve Solutions at that time, so I was so grateful to have the type of care that only my mom could bring, you know, when Sarah was young, and me trying to navigate, you know, being a wife, being a mom, being an entrepreneur at the same time. But by the time Sarah was 15, my mom had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it really changed their relationship. Sarah had to step up, and she played a real key role in Mom's care, and their roles really started to reverse. It was shortly after that Mom was then diagnosed with Parkinson's. And at that stage, this was where we were committed more than ever to find out what was happening to Mom and why. And we started looking into Mom's lifelong vices. You know, here's this very simple, kind, gentle, naive woman. What is her big vice? And her big vice was skincare and body care. So we started reading and Googling the ingredients of all these products she was using, things she would buy from department stores and grocery stores and drug stores. She was a big fan of off-the-shelf moisturizers and talc. And if you've ever looked at the back of ingredients on any sort of skincare, body care, you typically can't even read it. So you're literally Googling every single ingredient to figure out what the heck it is. What we learned was that up to 60% of what we apply to our skin is known to reach our bloodstream in 26 seconds. And that was pretty shocking to me because I didn't really think about it much that our skin really is our largest organ. The average woman applies over 150 synthetic chemicals a day to reduce the signs of aging, hydrate her skin, acne, banishing, all of those sorts of things. but she's constantly exposing herself to endocrine disruptors, carcinogens, neurotoxins. And by the way, the average man applies 85 chemicals a day. And that was really the catalyst to really decide we need to do something different.
Yeah, I love the mission behind it. And obviously for our listeners, Shirley Faverty is mom. And that's really the inspiration behind everything that you've built. And it also is a lot of the motivation in growing this family business and involving your daughter in the business with you and kind of growing it that way. Tell us a little bit about how the operation works, how the two of you work together, and how it's been growing this business and getting it to the point that it's at today.
I'd say the funny part is that Sarah really has been involved in our businesses since she was 6 years old. So after mom passed and I transitioned specifically to just doing Pure Energy, it was a perfect time for her to morph into more of a professional role with the business. And we're just really lucky that we really like each other.
So lucky.
And that we work well together. And it's great because while I have all this experience, Sarah has all these fresh eyes. And like our branding has, she did all of our rebranding through the pandemic. I was like, this is great what I've made. And Sarah was like, no, it really isn't. Let's make it look like this. And when she got done, I really felt like we were really shelf ready.
That's great. And I love the branding. I think you've done a lovely job with it, Sarah. It looks so great. And tell us, how has the experience been of balancing schoolwork at Champlain College and building the business? What's it like for you as a student entrepreneur?
You know, it is a lot of work because I'm working full time and even overtime, and I'm also a full time student. But I honestly wouldn't do it any other way. I don't think I would have enjoyed school as much if I'm not as busy as I am, because it gives me something to focus on when I'm in my business classes. Like, oh, I really want to learn about finance because I want to be able to handle these finances. And I want to learn about marketing because I want to take us to the next level. So it really gives me something to anchor my studies on.
Yeah, it's great to hear. And I know we had Dr. Kylie King on the show recently, and she talked about this exact thing, that the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship there at Champlain College, it's the idea of, regardless of whether you're going to run your business as a full-time entity or as a side hustle, or you go take a regular job working for someone else, it's the skills that you're learning as an entrepreneur that you'll be able to apply anywhere. And so for you specifically, is your plan, because I think you're a rising senior, so you're coming to the end of your time at Champlain College as an undergrad, is your plan to go into Pure Energy full time after graduation?
It is. My plan is to really dive deep into Pure Energy and to grow what we have and to see where life takes me and us.
Very cool. Very cool. And so, Dawn, from your perspective, and I think from all of our conversations, Sarah is really involved in business operations, obviously the marketing and branding and things like that. Is your role primarily in the product side and sales, like getting it out into the hands of customers?
Yeah, I would definitely say that, you know, the CEO function, the average vision sort of experience that the CEO is, you know, responsible for, but definitely finding those key accounts, developing those sales plans is definitely a strong part of what I do. We also have my niece, Sarah's cousin, Michaela, who is our operations manager. And so you'll see a lot of the things that she does is managing the client transaction experience, inventory management, product planning, order fulfillment, distribution. She also does a lot of the production itself, you know, the R&D and just the daily function of keeping everything running.
It's very cool. And it's just so fun to see a family business in so many different ways. The inspiration behind it being your mother and then everyone that's involved in it. And it's really also a great Champlain College story, because for our listeners to know, I think both you and your husband are Champlain College alumni, correct?
Oh, we are. And it's so fantastic for me because Sarah has been involved at Champlain again since she was about 6 years old when I started doing speaking from experience opportunities at Champlain. And it was so great for her to really very much grow up on campus, having the opportunity to do the Entrepreneurship for Good program her senior year of high school. And she has just absolutely blossomed at Champlain. You mentioned the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Sarah's one of the senior fellows there, so she's very involved working with Dr. King and the Sarah Ramsey Foundation. And it's just the opportunities that have been given to her through Champlain is phenomenal.
I remember one of the first classes I walked into, the teacher saw me and he saw my last name and he was like, that's it, I'm retiring. this is it. I'm done. And then he literally retired that year. It was really funny.
Yeah, he sent me, it was an accounting teacher, and he sent me an email, and he goes, "Your daughter has just arrived in my class. I'm officially old and retiring."
That's a great testament to Champlain College, though. And since you and your husband graduated from Champlain College, you settled here in Vermont. So have you been in Vermont the entire time? Is this a true, like, real homegrown Vermont story?
So my husband has been in Vermont the entire time. However, I came from Gary, Indiana by the time I was five. And, you know, fortunately, I have the aspect that my mom was, you know, a Vermonter, but I definitely ruined his bloodline when I, you know, married him and brought this second generation somewhat Vermonter with me.
And so it's really fun talking to you. And Sarah, so your plan is working with Pure Energy, taking the business to another level. When you talk about that and your plans for the company, what does it look like years from now? What is your future plan? How do you grow it to the next level?
Oh, well, my dream Pure Energy is in a gorgeous barn that I've already mapped out, and it's big and it's full of happiness.
There's definitely a lot of culture when Sarah talks about her vision, you know, what that looks like. And she's constantly scheming. And
I want it to be a workplace that's fulfilling to be at, you know, that someone enjoys being at.
Yeah. And I love that. And I think that's so important when we're talking about building businesses here in Vermont. Mm-hmm. A lot of people always think about the challenges of being in a smaller market, but the quality of life and being able to work at a place that you love to work at and you believe in the mission. And I think for what you do with Pure Energy, it resonates so well with our population here in Vermont and what we stand for. And I want to touch on that a little bit, because my wife is plant-based and she's such an advocate of only putting, you know, plant-based foods into her body. And I think a lot of people are like that, and there's a lot of press on that, but then they'll go and put 10 different creams on throughout the day that are not plant-based. So one of the big aspects of Pure Energy is that everything is plant-based, right?
Right. There, and like your wife's dedication, you know, there is a rise in consumer awareness of the preservation of health through ingredient knowledge and product origination. And we're learning, you know, the demographics are shifting. We're really realizing that it's not just the control of the food that we're putting in our mouths, but also the products that we're putting on our bodies. And, you know, I think that it's a generational, we're becoming more educated, we're understanding more about why we do things, why we don't do things. You know, we're looking more into disease and how things happen. And the problem really is, here's all this great knowledge, but then these products are often not accessible financially to folks. So really finding a way to make that happen is really a key focus for us.
Yeah, yeah. And Sarah, from a marketing perspective, do you look at that and say, how do we get more awareness around this problem and making sure that people understand that you're putting these chemicals into your body when you put them on your body? Is that one of the challenges of getting that message out there?
Absolutely. Education is so important, and especially with all the gaslighting that marketing companies do that really confuse consumers about, is this a good product or not? You know, is this healthy for me? Is this natural? It's really hard to get that message out there because you have to get past all those walls. But our goal is to educate the consumer so they're making these smart choices.
Yeah, and I know from our conversation, I think, Dawn, you are the honorary tester for some of these products.
I am the honorary tester.
So tell our audience a little bit about the pain and suffering that goes into bringing these products to the shelves in a way that they can all use them. How does that go about creating the product and then going through this aspect of putting it on your skin and knowing, okay, how this is going to interact and is it going to do what you want it to do and be safe and good for your body?
So fortunately or unfortunately, Sarah, Michaela, and I all have very sensitive skin, and we have a handful of folks, because we don't test on animals, we only test on people that we love the most, and they're all willing to participate in these things. But typically I'm always the one that says, okay, you know, I'm going to try this first. And recently we were working on a toner, and it was a lemon essential oil base, and the girls were so excited about it, but I'm like, wait, let me try this. And so we put it on my face first, and within moments, my face was bright red like a tomato. It was burning like it was on fire. And I'm like, okay, we're not doing this one. Yeah, it's always good. You need to subject yourself first before you're going to you know, encourage. It's like when you're making food, you know, you always have to taste test it first before you share it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's like and with food, it all seems like it always goes well. But we never see when it goes the wrong way and your face turns interesting colors.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like you have such a good working relationship and you've even got more family members involved with you now. For anyone who's listening, who is trying to build up a family business and really involve, whether it's siblings or children or parents in their business with them, what are some of the lessons that you've learned along the way? Some of the things that, for both of your perspectives, Sarah and Dawn, that if someone's thinking about this, that they should be aware of this or take some of these lessons and incorporate them into their inner workings with their family businesses?
It's actually a really, really good question, because I think it's the make or break where family businesses fail or succeed. And communication and listening is really so much an important part of when you're navigating a workplace. But when you navigate the workplace with a family member, it's even more important. Really understanding that we're all on the same team, that everybody wants the same success for not just the company, but for each other, is really important. And when you think about when someone's offering feedback or advice, you have to remember that they're not criticizing you, that they're just trying to be a part of making it the best company it can possibly be. And I think that it's important to make sure that you're thoughtful with the tone that you're using with each other, that you're thoughtful with how you react in different situations, because business can be stressful. And again, you know, just really remembering that you're part of the same team. And also, as you know, an entrepreneur, I've always been the type of person that believes that my staff and my partners, it's my goal and my job to help them find them their best selves. And that is often growing them to the point where they're ready to fly the coop and move on to what's next. And that's an okay thing. It's very much like parenting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Sarah, do you want to add anything to that?
I don't think I can say that any better than she did, but definitely communication is essential. You know, you can't take anything to heart, because we're all just learning. We're all just trying to figure out what works.
Yeah. And I think your story is really a good one, because you seem to kind of fit together in your roles and your skill sets, kind of a nice complement to each other, where you're not stepping on each other's toes, but you're really complementing each other's strengths and skill sets.
And when you respect, you know, you really identify what everybody is good at, and you really respect that it's the, have you ever heard of the 0 to 10 concept when it comes to navigating communication? If something in importance level, high 10 to Sarah, like our branding was off the charts for Sarah, was a 10. And for me at that standpoint, it was probably a 3. So instead of taking it personally, where Sarah had stated, you know, our branding needed a complete facelift, even though I had worked so hard on it, it's a 3 to me, but it's a 10 to her. So I just relinquished the project to her and let her run with it. You know, and there are things during the day that are a 10 to me, and there are 7 to Sarah, and she'll just relinquish it to me. And the same with Michaela.
Yeah, I love that. It's just a good process for anyone. It's easy to remember, and it's easy for anyone to put in place, that you know the things that you're really passionate about. And you have to also, I think, be aware of the things that your coworkers, family members are really passionate about, and know when to give a little bit and compromise. So yeah, definitely a good lesson there. The other thing I want to ask you is, we often talk to husband and wife teams, and they talk about where they draw the boundaries between business and family life. And so we probably heard that over and over again, but you don't always get to talk to people who are a mother-daughter or a mother-son team like this. So when you're working and your coworkers, and you've got those kind of business parameters that you're operating around, but then you shift gears into mother-daughter mode, how do you navigate that? Where do you draw the line? Are there any best practices that you guys are using that people should know about?
Boy, I'm going to say it goes back to communication and the 0 to 10 rule. It definitely applies for us. You know, I worked with my husband for 15 years, and I learned a lot about, you know, leaving work at work. And I think that pure energy is different to some extent, because it's so personal to us that even when we're in mother-daughter mode,
we're still talking about it.
We're still talking about it. Or we're running into an experience like, oh, pure energy. Oh, you know, or look at this greeting or this plant. You know, I feel like we're a little bit more seamless. But again, I think it goes back to just the way our personalities are. Because we use the 0 to 10 so much, we don't end up at the end of the day with some like unspoken emotional burden before we hit the dinner table. It's, I think that that's definitely a real key to things, and just real respect for each other is important.
Yeah. And I think you can just tell too, the level of passion that you both have for the product and the problem you're solving. And I think that kind of overtakes anything, that you can overcome any challenge in that case. And so for our listeners and for anybody who's trying to grow a business like this, how do you get distribution? Are you selling it through the web primarily? Are you getting into grocery stores or other retail stores? What does the distribution look like for Pure Energy now? And at the same time, tell people where they can find it so that they can get their hands on your products.
Sure, absolutely. So I would say at this standpoint, you know, we do want to get to a point where we're developing a stronger direct-to-consumer, what we refer to as DTC, through our website so we can reach more people. But really growing the brand, it's important for us to making the entrepreneurial choice that we have to have a smaller profit margin, unlike the other companies out there that really have overpriced products. Keeping our profit margin small means that we're going to have to cast a really wide net. So we're pushing really hard nationwide to introduce our products to as many wholesalers as we can, whether it's grocery or independent grocer or pharmacies or boutiques. We're really putting ourselves out there to get the brand the developed reach. Locally, Chittenden County, Hannaford's, Homeport, Adams Farm Market, Guy's Farm and Yard. You know, we've got a lot of local folks in Stowe Mercantile, lots of different folks in the Vermont area. But it's definitely expanding that reach as wide as we can and eventually growing pureenergybt.com to have that nice, strong exposure as well.
That's great. And so obviously with the direct-to-consumer side, the website and everything you're doing on the web becomes more and more of an important aspect of the business. And Sarah, is that your area? Are you focused on e-commerce and how you're going to build out those operations online and get more traffic to the website and more visibility?
Yeah, that is where I spend a lot of my time, is trying to figure out how to expand that reach. And
the other thing that Sarah does too is the wholesale platforms that we're on. She spends a lot of time making sure that our copy is right, our SEO is where it needs to be, and that's definitely translated onto our website too.
And for all of that, obviously getting out into retail operations, wholesale, the direct-to-consumer side, what are some of the challenges of being in Vermont in those areas? Or are they not a challenge in your business? Has it actually worked to your advantage being in a smaller community where you can grow your brand and become known a little more quickly? Is it a positive or a negative in your case?
Well, I'd say that the pandemic has shown us that being remote is something that we can do very well. You know, Sarah and I and Michaela have developed very lean processes to get ourselves out there. But I think that in general, you know, people like the Made in Vermont concept. You know, they understand that we do things a little bit different in Vermont. We care a little bit differently. And so bringing a Made in Vermont product to the marketplace is definitely a positive for us. You know, it's definitely a benefit to be made in Vermont. You know, as far as locally, we're a smaller state, so it definitely is a little bit easier for us to get people aware of us and have them try our products and discover us. And social media is definitely our friend for that as well. I don't know. I think that it's been a good thing. What do you think, Sarah?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying is right. There's certain brands that the Made in Vermont stamp is so important in a way because they relate it specifically. Like, I think Pure Energy seems like one of those brands that you would expect to come out of a state like Vermont. So
Right. That's
very cool. That's very cool. And so, Sarah, you've got, I think if I remember correctly, are you going abroad to Dublin for your senior year now?
I am. Hopefully I'm going to be spending the spring semester in Dublin, and I'm going to be doing a business internship there. Don't know what it is yet, but I'm very excited.
Very cool. That's one of the great opportunities that you get being at Champlain College with their campus over there. So, yeah, maybe you might be finding the one greener place than the Green Mountains out there in Kona, right?
We're just hoping she comes home, right?
I know. Don't like it too much. But yeah, if you could think of a place that has as much green and rain as we have here, you're getting a good dose of it there. So that's very cool. And for the next year, what is the biggest initiative for Pure Energy? Where do you want to see it go? And from both of you, Dawn, maybe you kick us off, and then Sarah, tell us, what do you guys have for Pure Energy? What should people be looking for? New products, things like that, that are coming.
I think that on top of, you know, just growing our wholesale exposure nationwide, we're going to start showing little sneaking opportunities to share a future body sprays, room sprays, natural deodorants, things that kind of round out our product line are definitely going to be popping up. But we're at that stage of it's time to really grow and probably end up needing to buy a different building and expand with staff. And it'll be an exciting year.
Yeah. One thing I'm focusing on this year is the pursuit of getting us B Corp certified. And I've, as we've talked about, I've recently launched our rebranding. So I'm going to be continuing changing that.
Very cool. And getting that barn for the
barn.
I know, Sarah's barn. It's going to happen. We'll probably even call it Sarah's barn.
Yeah. That's
fine. A beautiful two-story barn we'll make Daddy build us.
It's coming. So such a great conversation and such a good inspiration for young entrepreneurs out there that are doing it while they're in school, like you, Sarah, and for family entrepreneur stories out there where people are looking at this and seeing how great the two of you can interact and grow the business together. It's just a really nice story and something inspirational for individual entrepreneurs and family businesses out there. So thank you for taking the time to come on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having us, John.
And for our listeners who want to find your products, just one more time, tell them a website address and the main stores in the area. We've got a lot of Vermont listeners, so where can they find Pure Energy products?
So at pureenergyvt.com is direct with us. And then locally, you're looking at Chittenden County, St. Albans, Hannaford's, Homeport, Jubilant,
Adams Farm Market,
Guy's Farm and Yard, and so many more. Mercantile, there's so many.
Well, just keep your eyes out for the Pure Energy branding that Sarah worked so hard on. You can't miss it now. I'm looking for it in all the stores that I go into. And so happy to have you both with us today. Love the story, and it's really cool to see Champlain College turning out multiple generations of great entrepreneurs. So thank you for taking the time to be here.
Thank you for having us.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here each week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every week. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe, leave us comments. We love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey everyone, John Toda here. I want to thank you for tuning into the show each week. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you would take a minute to rate us and write a review for Learning Life wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great interviews on the topics you care most about.